You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, this is Paul Lazarus. In the 1980s, I produced and hosted a radio series called Anything Goes, a celebration of the American musical theater. Now the Broadway Podcast Network is bringing back these shows. This is the first of a two-part program featuring the composer of Bye Bye Birdie and Annie, Charles Strauss. In January of 1982, Strauss came to my apartment in Manhattan and discussed everything from his collaboration with lyricist Lee Adams to working with Dick Van Dyke.
In olden days, a glimpse of stocking was looked on as something shocking, but now God knows anything goes.
Good afternoon. The theme music to The Night They Braided Minsky's is an appropriate introduction to today's edition of Anything Goes, the first part of a three-hour look at the career of composer Charles Strauss, whose many shows include Bye Bye Birdie, Golden Boy, and All American. Today we'll focus on Strauss's early years, writing jazzy piano pieces for his family, contributing songs to the now-famous Green Mansion reviews, his first big hit with lyricist Lee Adams' Bye Bye Birdie, up through his score in 1968 for William Friedkin's film The Night They Raided Minsky's. I'm Paul Lazarus. Join Anything Goes for the next hour and a half with guest, composer Charles Strauss.
Charles, I just thought I'd start out with your background and your early training. You were born in New York City. Did you grow up in New York? New York?
Yes, born, raised, bred, unbred in New York. Yes, went to PS 87, and then I went to high school, Townsend Harris High School, which was then stopped because of budget problems by the city. But I'm a
Depression baby because you were born right around.
Well, I was born around that time. Yeah. But I'm proud of the fact that I'm a New Yorker, and I've always loved the city, and I've always tried to write something about it.
Well, you paid tribute to it many, many times. Was your family involved with music or theater at all?
No, except my mother was a good musical amateur pianist, loved the pop music of the times, and I know that's where it all stems from, my mother and my closeness to her.
Did she teach you in the beginning, or?
No. I found out that it's impossible to teach your own children, and I didn't know that then, but she never even bothered. I tried with my own kids now, and forget it. It just doesn't work.
Uh-huh. What was your earliest musical training?
The earliest musical training I had was from a pianist who lives in Brooklyn today. His name was Abraham Sokolov, and he taught me a kind of popular method, which in a way was both good. That is, it induced me into music, and bad in the sense that there was a lot of theory and harmony left unsaid. And my first serious training came at the age of 15 when I went to the Eastman School of Music. And there I started from scratch as far as classical music was concerned. And that became my overriding ambition, to become a composer, a serious composer.
Many of the excerpts you'll be hearing today are from An Evening at the 92nd Street Y, the Lyricist and Lyric series, and I'm grateful to Maurice Levine for granting permission to use these segments. You'll next hear lyricists Lee Adams and Martin Charnin talking about composer Charles Strauss.
Charles was trained at the Eastman School of Music and had no interest in pop music at all. His parents were very proud of him, and when he came home for vacation, they'd naturally ask him to play something for them. And perhaps his Aunt Stella, who was hard of hearing, or anyone who'd come over to the house, they could show him off to.
The trouble was, after a couple of semesters, he couldn't help but notice that their responses to his piano sonata or the slow movement of his string quartet were merely polite. That is, except for Aunt Stella, who applauded at everything because she couldn't hear.
So I wrote what I called party pieces, ones my parents might enjoy and make them prouder in front of friends. I'll play one for you now. It's called Ditto.
First musical you ever saw?
The first musical I ever saw was Danny Kaye in
Let's Face It.
Yeah. Farming was in it.
Right, that was that Cole Porter musical.
Yeah. Why that was, I don't know, but it was.
1941, I think, or something like that. That's amazing. That's a really nice Cole Porter score. Yeah. Really. That's not very well known.
Yeah.
What kind of impression did it make on you?
I don't remember. I do remember one thing, although not specifically about that show. But because of my age, the fact that I was always a little bit younger than the things I was doing, because I graduated from college quite young and high school, one of the things that always stayed with me about musicals was that they're very sexy. They're very glamorous. They're very bright and dazzling and fast-paced. And I was always glamorized by them.
Uh-huh.
And I think that stayed with me. In other words, I think I'm years behind or ahead of, well, I say behind in a certain way, a lot of people who think of the musical as a very serious form. Although, as you know, I've tried to do serious musicals.
Surely.
A part of me is in love with the jazz part of musicals. Not that it can't be...
Glitter and be gay. Sorry.
Yes, but it's that's what musicals represented to me. I've always gyrated towards that.
Take 10 terrific girls, but only 9 costumes, and you're cooking up something grand. Mix in some amber lights and elegant scenery, then stir in a fine jazz band. Then add some funny men and pepper with laughter. It's tart and tasty, I know. Then serve it piping hot.
I met Lee about this time, 1949, and we heard about a place called Green Mansions, where we could try out. Here's a typical review piece written at that time, and it shows a lot about Lee's thoughts. But more important, it shows the kind of writing that reviews forced us all into. There was no scenery as such, no play to fill in characterization. We simply had to invent numbers in one being that part of the stage in front of the show curtain, where the songs and the singers were it, the whole entertainment. And we needed variety in the groupings, too, a trio, a duet, a solo for the soubrette, or a production number. There were people like Dick Shawn or Carol Burnett or Dodd Adams to serve us, so we had to put out. Here's a typical trio, 3 disgruntled mothers. Tonight at the Y, history is being made for 2 of my close friends, both lyricists and both friends to each other, have graciously agreed to be here to help me. But then again, lyricists have always helped me. So now, Lee Adams and Martin Charnin will sing Those Mothers. Of the 3 mothers, 2 are quite distraught because their sons have chosen a horrible career rather than becoming the solid citizens their fathers are. The 3rd mother, Martin, is quite smug.
Your Thomas could have been a doctor or a lawyer.
My Coleman could have been a rabbi or employer. But
no, they chose a sin much worse than sex or gin.
And worst of all, they broke their poor mother's hearts.
By going in.
For the arts.
The arts.
Oh, poor us.
It serves you right.
The arts, they've taken up the arts. Instead of getting decent, steady jobs, they waste their days on music, books, and plays.
In other words, your sons are lazy slobs.
My Coleman should be working in the store. He should be clerking, but he won't because he's lazy. He's just driving Morris crazy. And what is most distressing is with music he is messing. If you heard what he composes, you would hold your ears and noses.
Oh, the shame. He should have been a grocer like his papa, but no, sir.
Coleman wants to be, a composer.
The arts, he's taken up the arts.
Your Coleman has turned out to be a jerk.
Oh, Mrs. Porter, poor Mrs. Porter, your Cole will have such trouble finding work.
Night and day.
My Thomas had good breeding, but some book he's always reading. I'm afraid he'll be a scholar, and he'll never have a dollar. And now he's gone to Britain, by the writing bug he's bitten. And imagine, curse of curses, he writes filthy modern verses.
Poetry!
The arts,
the lowest of the arts.
Her Tommy ran away to write such rot.
Tommy rot.
Poor Mrs. Elliot. T.S. Mrs. Elliot. Better Tommy should be taken out and shot.
Well, girls, I hate a bragging mother, but I can't be any other. My son Charles has been a model son since first he tried to toddle. He's not a bit artistic, but he's smart and realistic. He is generous, sweet, and healthy, and he's very, very wealthy.
The arts, he isn't in the arts. Your Charlie has turned out so perfectly. Oh, Mrs. Luciano.
Lucky Mrs. Luciano.
My son is just what every son should be.
But Cole and Thomas broke their mother's hearts.
By taking up
the art.
Charles Strauss, Lee Adams, and Martin Charnin in 1978 at the YMHA on 92nd Street as part of the Lyricists and Lyrics series, performing The Arts, a song first written by Charles Strauss and Lee Adams for the Green Mansion reviews and then picked up by producer Ben Bagley for his Shoestring Review of 1957.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This is Anything Goes with Paul Lazarus and a look at the career of composer Charles Strauss. Jump ahead to your first big show in 1960, Bye Bye Birdie, and which really launched your career. I'm just curious about the evolution of that show because I know nothing about it. Whose idea was to do this? And
well, the idea to do a show based on teenagers was Ed Padula's idea. Ed Padula was the father of us all, and Ed came to Lee and me first, because he had heard some of our material in the Shoestring Review you were talking about before. And he said that he had this idea, and we thought not only it was a good idea, but we thought nobody else has ever asked us to do a Broadway show. Turned out he had never done a Broadway show. That's always the fun of it. It was his first, and he had optioned an absolutely charming book by a man by the name of Warren Miller about a teenager who wanted, a little girl who wanted to lose her virginity and spent the summer trying to do it and couldn't do it. Everything got in her way. And it was a wonderful book, very funny. And Warren and somebody else, whose name I can't remember, unfortunately, wrote a book that I thought was quite charming. And we wrote, for that, about 30 songs and got it down to around 20. And for a reason I don't understand, but it's just the nature of Broadway, nobody bought it. Nobody bought the book. But during the auditions, out of these 20-odd songs which we played, people always responded very well to a couple of them. One of them was a song about kids on the telephone. They always liked that. And why we wrote it in that book, I don't remember. It was, and then...
Obviously, that became the Telephone Hour.
Yes. Oh, there were a few songs that stayed. Uh-huh. Because of the vagaries of the business, Padula could not get it produced with Warren's work. And very sadly, we went along with, you know, what the producer wanted to do, tried to get some other book writers. And we did get three or four different ones, including Elaine May and Mike Nichols.
Huh.
And then finally, we brought in Mike, who...
This is Michael Stewart.
Yeah, who had been at Green Mansions. And it was really a bit of desperate pleading on our part, because nobody wanted him, really, and he had done nothing at that point in his life. And Padula agreed to him trying it. Mike wanted to write, since Mike and Elaine were very hot as performers, they were just starting, Mike wanted to write a show for Elaine, Mike Stewart wanted to write a show for Elaine May and Mike Nichols,
oh,
which is where the Rosie and Albert characters came from. It was it was like a extended sketch for Mike and Elaine, and it was amusing, but it was not a play. And then Lee Adams had the idea to make it about the rock and roll singer. It was Lee's idea to do that, and
you say the rock and roll singer, was it not Elvis Presley, or did
yes.
that came later?
Yeah, no, it was Presley, and that idea came from in part. Wanting to do a show for Dick Shawn. Lee and I had written a rock and roll number for Dick Shawn, which he just did wonderfully, a takeoff on Elvis. In fact, it was called Elvis. And so it all kind of came together in a weird way.
Reaction out of town to Bye Bye Birdie?
It was a smash right away.
Where was it?
In Philadelphia, at the Schubert Theater. Yeah, and it being your first show, it was unbelievable is not the word. It was a numbing kind of thing. It's as though somebody just called you today. The phone that rang before, somebody said, "You've just won $5 million." You'd say, "Well, thank you very much," and you'd put down the phone and you'd say, "What is $5 million? I'm not going to leave this apartment. I'm not going to change my life or anything." It was abstract.
Is it true that you actually fainted when you heard Brooks Askinson's review?
Yeah, I did. I did. That's a true story.
Well, I can understand it. One waits for these things.
Well, the numbness, of knowing finally that you had a hit, a big hit, and not really believing it. See, right. But a part of you, your stomach, kind of accepting it last of all. Your head started to say, "Gee, everybody says it's a big hit show, should run forever, very funny, smash." Hollywood movie, and then we came to New York, and the first review we saw was a bad one.
Yeah, his was really one of the only bad ones.
It was the only bad one we ever received in this country,
actually.
He said,
"It is neither fish nor fowl nor musical comedy." Right?
Yeah, he did not like it, and to his credit, he resigned right afterwards because he himself said it. He just didn't know what he was talking about.
Now my life is rosy since I found my Rosie. With a girl like Rosie, how could I be blue? Hand in hand we'll mosey, me and little Rosie. We will be so cozy by a fire built for two. Oh, I once heard a poem that goes, a rose is a rose is a rose. Well, I don't agree, take it from me. There's one rose sweeter than any that grows, and that's my Rosie. I'm so glad she chose me.
What had Dick Van Dyke done before Birdie?
Well, nothing really of any. I mean, he was in a show where I met him. I was the vocal arranger pianist on a show called The Girls Against the Boys by Richard Lewine and Arnold Horwitt.
Uh-huh.
And was with Burt Lahr and Nancy Walker, and Dick had a very minor role in it. By the way, so did Martin Charnin. That's where I met Martin also.
In The Girls Against the Boys?
In The Girls Against the Boys. He was almost a gypsy, although he says I was a featured actor in it. I mean, my recollection is he was a gypsy in it. But in any case, Dick and I used to go out after the show, and I said, "Gee, Lee Adams and I are writing this show, and I think there's a terrific part in it for you." He said, "Well, I'd like to see it someday, you know, when we all grow up." It was that kind of thing. And then when we finally got the show on, nobody would give, including myself, I got to admit, in all honesty, nobody would give Dick the part.
Because he just wasn't a big name.
He wasn't a big name. We felt, I mean, Charles Strauss and Lee Adams and even Gower Champion, I mean, he'd, you know, directed a couple of nightclub reviews. And so we were looking for somebody big, but, you know, like a Dick Van Dyke type. And it was really through the pressures and the loyalty of his then agent, Richard Seff, that Van Dyke, he said, "You got to see him. You wanted him in the first place." I mean, I knew Richard well. And Richard insisted. And finally we said, "Well, gee, Jack Lemmon isn't going to do it. And so-and-so isn't going to do it." And Larry Blyden, by this time, was out of the picture. Larry was a much bigger star, in a way.
Right.
So we finally agreed to see the man I had spoken to originally about it, but didn't have the guts to follow through on.
Gray skies are gonna clear up, put on a happy face. Brush off the clouds and cheer up, put on a happy face. Take off the gloomy mask of tragedy, it's not your style. You look so good that you'll be glad you decided to smile. Pick out a pleasant outlook, stick out that noble chin. Wipe off that full of doubt look, slap on a happy grin. And spread sunshine all over the place. Just put on a happy face. Put on a happy face. Put on a happy face. And if you're feeling cross and bickerish, don't sit and whine. think of banana splits and licorice, and you feel fine. I knew a girl so gloomy, she'd never laugh or sing. She wouldn't listen to me, now she's a mean old thing. So spread sunshine all over the place, just put on a happy face.
Michael J. Pollard was in that show playing Hugo. Does he sing well? I didn't.
No, and that was I was sitting in a restaurant with Gower, and Michael J. Pollard walked by, and Gower said, "That's the kid who was in, I think it was called A Loss of Roses." He said, "I loved him," and I said, "He was terrific." I said, "I wonder whether he sings," and he said, "I don't even know his name." So I followed him into the men's room, and we were both standing by the urinal, and. I said to him, a bad opening line, if ever there was one, I said, "I have a show." And he looked at me just the way you're looking at me now, and edged away a little bit. And I said, you know, I said, "Look, I don't know your name. I saw you in the play. And do you sing?" By this time, I guess he figured I was legitimate, but it's certainly no way to approach an actor.
That's funny.
And he said, "Oh," he said, "yeah, I sing well." I said, "Well, who do you sound like?" He said, "Well," he says, "I kind of sing like Sinatra." I said, "Gee, that's great." And I took his name and his agent. Anyway, we called him into audition, and he couldn't sing a note. not one note. But we liked him so much that we took out a song. He was supposed to have a song on the show. We took it out.
What was that song called?
I can't remember. I just don't remember what it was.
I was always wondering why Hugo never
sang a song.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's because Michael J. Pollard played the role.
But we liked him so much, and he gave a certain... nuttiness to the madness to the play. That was why it worked. If you did it legitimately, without a Paul Lynde or a Michael J. Pollard, I think we would have not succeeded.
Wouldn't have been nearly as interesting.
There, by the way, was Gower's genius. He was a wonderful caster. He could think up casting ideas, and all of the casting ideas were his, as I recall. That kept you off balance.
Me on the Ed Sullivan Show? Ed Sullivan. Me, Harry McAfee, appearing with Ed Sullivan. Ed Sullivan.
The late Paul Lynde in Bye Bye Birdie, singing a song from the score Hymn for a Sunday Evening, a score by lyricist Lee Adams, and my guest today on Anything Goes, composer Charles Strauss.
You've been listening to Charles Strauss Part 1, the first of a two-part series. Associate Producer Jeff London. Anything Goes Backstage with Broadway's Best is produced and hosted by Paul Lazarus. For more information, visit anythinggoespl.com. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to rate and follow us. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.